Well, what I'm about to give you is what we have, it's been a couple of years since I've done this, and we need to do it every year, and I've just been negligent, so I apologize for that. And just simply trying to bring you as a congregation to the point where as elders and deacons and other leaders in the church and decisions that we make, where we are at this point in time with various issues regarding the church. And so we'll do that in what time is for this morning. Donna took this picture of some of our little ones Wednesday night. And what we do as an investment in this church, we do for many reasons, but one of the largest reasons is the faces on the picture that's up for you there this morning, for the children that are among us, for our kids and our grandkids, to try and do the best we can to make sure that when you and I, who have gray hair and wrinkles around our face, are gone from this world, there will still be here in this community, in this place, a viable representation of Christ and His work to be carried on. So we strive to teach, to encourage. We encourage you to be sure to have your children or grandchildren here with us for our time of study together. Our leadership here today in church, Paul or Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of that glory which shall be revealed." And the challenge before this church is this: as elders, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Elders are just people. And the three elders we have in this congregation are no different than anyone else in this world in terms of the issues that we all struggle with, the expectations that we have. We all aspire to do better than what we do and to be stronger than what we are. But our effort here in this church is an honest effort to lead, not by driving. Shepherds, I'm never shepherding, but as I understand shepherds, they don't drive. They don't stand behind the flock and throw rocks. They get out in the front and they lead the flock. And so these are the men that have been willing to accept the challenge that you laid before them back some time ago, to, as a shepherd cares for his flock, to care for this church here, to watch out for any dangers or threats that might be imminent, and to advise and lead and direct you in your service to the Lord. Our deacons, let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own houses as well, for they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus, Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3. The seven deacons that serve this church, you're familiar with these men, obviously. They are your friends and your brothers and your family members and your neighbors. Cliff has been a deacon here in this church for many years. Chris, tremendous leadership Chris shows among the deacons. Back. I got Charlie up there now. Charlie and his leadership as well. And Mike and his leadership. Tom, of course, is, I guess, our newest deacon appointee, and he jumped in with both feet. And, there's not anything that we can ask anybody to do that Tom won't be first in line to try and help us with that. Jeff and his service, and Jody and his service. Jody's not able to be with us this morning. He's home sick. But God has blessed this church with men who understand that there's a difference between the things that deacons do and the things that elders do, and are willing to step up and do their part. Larry and I are both confident that when he and I are gone, that from this deaconship, there will be men that will be prepared and ready to step in and lead this church as elders. To go through our mission work, and I know I put this on the bulletin, and it's on your bulletin every Sunday, this general information, but we simply want you to be aware of what this represents in terms of importance to many people that go beyond the fringes of our community and our circle of friends and our environment. Indian missions, Joe has come and visited with us several times here, and Doug, my brother-in-law, has been here several times to visit. You are instrumental in helping support the school in Saraphat. We determined back years ago when we used to support, I guess we had 10 different India preachers that we supported every month because their income over there is so low. But we felt like the investment for that wasn't wasn't the best investment. There were some difficulties that came to our attention because we're half a world away. And so we felt like the absence of eldership in the congregations that were being established in India was a void that needed to be filled. And so along with the Church of Washburn, we began the support of the Preacher Training School in Saraphat and adjusted the curriculum so that a heavy emphasis is given there on training men to become elders and sending them back out then to lead individual congregations. Since we began this work back several years ago, countless elderships have been trained and are serving effectively as elders are intended by God to serve in local congregations. You provide $600 a month in support of that work. There are other churches that assist, but primarily these two, with Washburn taking the lead in oversight of the work. Larry, of course, has been here with you many times to speak with you from Kenya. It's been a couple of years, I guess, since he has been back. But Larry and his wife, Holly, such dedicated servants for the Lord, the work that they do in Nairobi. And he's shown you the stuff, and we've shown you pictures from time to time of the kids that he works with. The Made in the Street program in Nairobi that rescues the abandoned children, that teaches them and brings them into a relationship with God, that gives them a skill, that equips them to be able to earn a living while they're there, after they graduate from the school. It's just an amazing work. And the times that Larry has stayed in our home and the opportunities that Don and I have had in just simply visiting with him about the nature of the work, he's just quite a guy. Just quite a guy. We provide $600 a month. You do $600 a month in support of that work. This is his environment that he goes out into every day. The things that we take for granted, of course, here are things that are not in abundance over in the land where he preaches. These are five of the young men in the school that were taken off the streets and converted, and it's quite a deal. So thank you for your support of that. Amen Ministry, we've supported that for quite a while. It serves to minister to our brothers and sisters who are in the military station in foreign lands. We support them with $50 per month. Truth for Today, we have supported for years and years. Eddie Fuller came here, I can't even remember when it was, back years ago when this first began to be done, this work did, and convinced us that it was a worthwhile project. It's a ministry in print reaching out to the lost around the world. It's responsible for the conversions of thousands and the establishment of new churches, New Testament churches all over the world. The material that they print, and you've seen it before, and it's back in our library, it's these books. Multiples of these books right here on every, book of the Bible, commentaries, written materials on every conceivable subject, all done by brethren, and all very sound material that can be used, and that is sent at no charge throughout the world to individuals that are seeking to learn how to preach and teach as a resource for them. It's just a tremendous work. $300 per month is what you provide toward the support of that work. Family First Foundation, Bill Wheeler has been here with you. He conducted a month-long marriage enrichment seminar for us last year or so, I can't remember. But Bill is just a great guy and does a great work. We support $200 a month toward that program. They work to introduce and support family values legislation and to strengthen families in the local church through preaching and teaching. We support several different campus ministries. The one that we fed, that Tom, Suzanne, and others of you went up and fed last Thursday, located at UFAS in Fort Smith. This is the sixth year of the work that is there. It works, of course, strengthening Christian students and teaching the lost, and we provide $300 a month support for the work that is being done there at Fort Smith. Razorbacks for Christ, we were supporting them before we were supporting UFAS. Same kind of work, same kind of strategy and involvement. $120 per month support for Razorbacks for Christ. At ATU, some of our kids here that graduate go down to Arkansas Tech. The student center there has the same functions, and we provide $100 per month at Arkansas Tech. At UCA, at Conway, same kind of responsibility. The support there is $50 per month. So we have long believed in this church that taking, trying to support and take care of our kids after they leave this environment, go into a college environment, is extremely important work and critical to the further growth of our kids as we send them out for education. Southern Christian Home, of course, you are familiar with Southern Christian Home down at Morgan. And this church was supporting Southern Christian Home before I came here 40 years ago to begin preaching, or a little over 40 years. About as long as Morrilton has been there in terms of having a home, this church has been supportive of the work. Provides care birth through college. You provide $150 per month plus our fifth Sunday contribution. So total contribution on a monthly basis is about $1,400 every month that you send down to Southern Christian Home for support of the kids that are down there. You also support the work at Perryville Christian Home. James Balcom, he's located in Perryville, Arkansas, is a great guy, director, and I think he's still the director at Perryville Christian Home, although he's slowed down. It's $100 a month in support of the work that is there. I want to cover some budget things with you. So if you're not into budget things, then it's time for maybe a five-minute nap, and we'll wake you up when that's over. This is just information relative to the church here. The monthly amount that we just looked at in the mission work is $2,420 per month that is invested in those efforts. And then to keep this church functioning, there are, of course, bills every month, local bills that have to be paid. We budget for utilities each month here, $1,000 is broken down by utility. But that pays our electric bill, our water bill, our gas and phone, our web service, and the dumpster that we have out back of the building. That will change in a minute. There we go. Preaching, $525 per month. I'll speak some more about that here in a minute when I talk to you a little bit more about that deal. The cleaning of the building is $600 per month. There's, Joe, how many square feet are we cleaning? I can't even remember. 20,000? I can't remember. But it's a huge amount when you clean upstairs and downstairs. So $600 a month. Bookkeeping, $200 per month. Building supplies, which is just stuff that we use here in the building to keep it functioning. Oh, let me go back. Building supplies, we budgeted $250 a month. Literature, $200 per month. Insurance for the building and grounds, $300 per month. Local benevolence on a monthly basis, $800 per month. Mike and Jeff are our deacons in charge of our benevolence program, and they oversee that fund. The total amount of our local monthly expense here in this congregation, for the local part, not the mission part, is $3,875 is what we have budgeted. When you add that to our mission funds, then we have a total monthly expense in the building of $6,295 income. It's just like anybody's checkbook. I mean, you balance your book at the end of the month. Our average monthly income over the last 5 months has been $10,941 over the last 5 months. This represents a decrease in contribution of $2,035 per month since the building of our new facility, and that was back in 2009. And since that time, our contribution has gone the other direction. You say, well, why is that? I don't know. That's just the way it is. We've lost some folks, and I'll cover that in a minute. And we're in this economy, you know. We know what kind of economy we're in. So we've hit a $2,000 per month hit since building the new facility. Our income less expenses leaves a total of $4,600 available for our loan repayment each month. Our monthly payment is $2,695. We put in that an extra principal payment of an additional $440. So that makes that amount be about a little over $3,000, $3,100 that we put in on building fund repayment. Every month. Whatever's left over is in the church treasury. We strive to keep a minimum amount in the treasury each month to be available for unanticipated expenses. When something breaks down, it has to be fixed. And so in order to accommodate that, we try to keep a minimum amount in the treasury. Anything above that minimum amount that has been set, we simply apply that automatically to the payment of our principal on our building loan with the desire and the commitment, as we said back when we entered this building program. We wanted to pay this thing off in 10 years if we could. Well, we thought then that was a pretty good lofty goal. and probably could have been reached if not for the budget decrease over the last little bit. But we'll pay it off as soon as we can. And when it gets paid off, it gets paid off. We made our first payment on our loan March the 1st of 2009. So it's been a little over 3 years since we moved into this facility and began making payments on the loan. The total amount of the loan was $600,000, a little over that. And that built this auditorium. It built a new addition downstairs. We rolled in. We had a loan already, a smaller loan for our first addition that we built down there. It was rolled into this and combined into one loan. The total we still owe as of this last week when I checked the bank figures, $492,463.62. If somebody will give 62 cents this morning, we'll take that off of there and we'll have an even figure. But so that's the amount of loan that's still there. We have paid just over $108,000 since 2009 when we began making those payments. So it's not going to last forever. And it's just like the loan on your house and paying off your house or paying off your car. You just meet them as they come. If you have some extra where you can pay on it early, you do that to avoid interest. We renegotiated the loan once already in the last 3 years in order to get the loan rate lower, to save a little bit more money that we can apply then to the principal. So it'll be paid off eventually. And thank you for your continued support that enables us to make those payments. It has, as long as I can remember here in this church, dating back to 1970, the fall of 1970, the spring of 71 when Don and I came, this church had no debt. And we lived because of the generation that came during that time, built the old auditorium, the old building, and paid that debt off so that by the time I got here, the church was debt-free. And we lived for years here debt-free until numbers got to be such that we couldn't fit them in that auditorium any longer. Those of you that have been here all along know that's the case. And so trying to look forward a little bit, we did some rebuilding or some remodeling and then later on some additions and things like that to try and preserve here in this community something that is capable to accommodate growth over time so that this church will be safe. We'll get that paid off. And when we get that paid off, that'll be $3,000 a month or so that we can apply to other expenses. We don't apply much to salaries around this place because we prefer that money go into mission and other work that is critical. Church attendance, we were averaging about 160 at the time of the building of our new facility, you all recall. Sometimes we'd be up 175, 80, sometimes we'll go 160, but we were averaging at the time that I did that presentation back then, 160. Over the last 5 months, excuse me, our weekly attendance average has been 141 on a Sunday morning. And reviewing attendance, as I did this for the last 10 years when we began seriously discussing building, that was about 10 years ago that we started discussing this. We, since that time, we have lost a total of 61 people. Well, that's quite a few folks in 10 years' time. And here they are. No names and pictures, but just people. 12 of those folks, as I look back, are attending elsewhere. 21 of them have moved away out of the community into other places. 13 have passed away. 4 of those have changed to shut-in status and can't get out any longer. 11 that we know of are inactive, which means they're not anywhere. They're just at home doing whatever. Over that 10 years, others have been baptized or have moved in so that our net loss in numbers from the time that we were averaging 160, our net loss is just 20. And that's more than what we would like. But this, you know, and elders, as elders, we talk these figures back and forth amongst ourselves quite regularly because this, it's a concern to us that we want to be going in the other direction rather than in this direction. But it's the life of any congregation. Ups and downs. We've experienced it here many times, as has every congregation. So just continue being faithful. Let me introduce a new guy to you. He and Laura are out of town this weekend, but Dusty is your new associate minister. Anytime you want to begin calling him pastor or rabbi or whatever, he reminds me more of a Jewish rabbi than he does anything else. He just let that beard get a little longer. and grow the curly locks on the side of his ears, he'd be all right. But this was determined in last week's business meeting. I visited with Dusty earlier, and he agreed to accept the position of associate minister here for the church. He'll be preaching for our Sunday evening services and continue to work with our youth. He and several others of our couples here in working with our youth. I'll continue to handle the, Lord willing, the preaching on Sunday mornings, just as I have been doing. And this came about not because of any complaints from y'all. Thank you for not complaining. But as my request, I've visited with the leaders from time to time about that. My health is not as good as I would like for it to be, as is the health of many of you that are here this morning. And I have gotten to the point, I told them last week, that I can't continue as I am doing. So Dusty is available, and Dusty does a great job. And what our hope is that as I decrease, he will increase, and that his skill and his commitment to serve and to worship and to work in the pulpit and to work with us as a church, he's just a great, great young man. He and Laura both. And so this will be a positive step for us here in this church. He's not going to go rich over anything that we provide, I can assure you that. This should come at no additional cost to the church. My salary will be reduced from what it is, and Dusty and I both will receive, for each sermon that we preach, we'll receive $75. So that gets you two preachers for $150 a week, which is a pretty good bargain if you consider what most churches are having to pay. Dusty will begin his preaching duties on November the 4th, and on that particular Sunday evening. We're glad to have him with us. Just a few other tidbits before we close. I just remind you about our library. It's well stocked, it's well provisioned, it's set up and organized well, but use it, you know. It doesn't get very much use at all, and I can understand that, because my first resource anymore, I donated all my books here to the library, as have everybody, a lot of other folks. My first source of resources is university colleges and campuses where among our brotherhood, and get on the internet, and you just find it all there. But for those of you that like books, there's some excellent material. But it is, of course, as we have said in the disclaimer, read with understanding the books of men, but read the book of God with reverence. Our website, of course, you can get the bulletin off your website, or I email that out to you each Sunday or Saturday, for those of you that request it by email, and it can be sent that way. Sermons are on the website, so that anytime you miss a Sunday, if you want to listen to the sermon that you missed, you can pull it down from the website and hear that. If you don't have internet and want the sermon, of course, we make those. I'll get you a CD copy of any of those that you might want, either for yourself or for anyone else. If you find a particular message would be of use to you or to any of a friend that you have, then tell me. Let me know, and we'll run copies. Well, this is it, you know. What we do in this place, we don't do. The Lord does. And we thank Him for the love that He has for us as a church and for His continued patience with us as we work in His behalf. Paul says that speaking the truth in love may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The emphasis in that, of course, is every part. All of it. Whether you sit up here at the front of the building or in the middle of the building, or which aisle you're in, or the back of the building, we're all a part of this. And we will get only as far as the Lord will bless and as we will take it. As the members of this church. So may God bless us each of these activities, and may God give us wisdom and faith to serve Him according to His Word. And we leave you with this, my parting thoughts and the elders' parting thoughts, as were Paul's thoughts with the church of Ephesus when he met the elders there, when he said, "We commend this church to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build us up and to give us inheritance among all them that are sanctified." So thank you for your attention this morning. Let me get us a light or two here. We're going to extend an invitation. If we have some of you here that may not be Christians, this is an opportunity to come. We would love to have you be a part of this fellowship. In repentance of your sin and confession of your faith, we'll baptize you this morning into Christ. He will add you to the church, Acts 2:47. And this is the opportunity that is yours today. If you need our prayers as God's child, we stand ready to assist. We'll sing the first and last stanza of this song. You come while we stand and sing.